Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for October the 10th. I'm Paul White. Promised you yesterday to share some stuff about communion in regards to my own life's experience and walk, and I know I've done that off and on through other sermons, other lessons over the past years, but we're in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, walking through Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. We're in the 16th and 17th verses where Paul introduces the word communion. Well, what we translate is the word communion. And the communion ceremony has been a part of what we do as a Christian people from the beginning of our origins. We have participated because of that moment where Jesus in that what we call the Last Supper, what's often because of Da Vinci called the Last Supper, we observe the body and the blood. Jesus takes a cup and he blesses it and says it's the blood of a new testament, a new covenant. He takes the bread and he breaks it and calls it his own body. These are spectacular things in that they prelude or prophesy of something that has not yet occurred. When Jesus says this, the blood has not yet been shed. The body has not yet been broken. The disciples cannot possibly understand that this is actually going to happen to him in just a few hours, within a day. And yet Jesus knows it's coming and is showing himself to be a willing participant so that all who participate from our end are receiving with our eyes wide open what the body did for us and what the blood did for us. In my own tradition of the church, coming up, we observed communion as a ceremony in our churches, and it was most often once, maybe twice a year. We were a denominational church, a small Baptist denomination that was based in the Midwest, and that was where I was raised, and we called it an ordinance. You had two major ordinances in our denomination. One was water baptism, which was to occur after you made a public profession of faith, and the other was communion, which was to occur in community with other believers who were in right standing with both God and the church and man. These were ordinances that could only be administered by an ordained minister, and the ordained minister had to be ordained within that denomination. So if you led a baptismal service, you had to be ordained through the denomination to do so. If you led a communion service, you had to be ordained to do so. Heavy emphasis was placed on the handling of the objects. I talked to my dad about this recently. He recently visited me in North Georgia. We sat down and had talks about a lot of stuff, as we always do. We got talking about communion, and he reminded me that they had referred to it as an ordinance and that those were the two major ones. But one of the things I remember Dad brought out in that conversation that I had actually forgotten, because by the time I started preaching, we were not even affiliated. Our church wasn't even affiliated with that denomination any longer. And I was never ordained with them. My ordination to this day comes through Midland Church as an independent church in Missouri. And he reminded me that the handling was a big deal. So how you handled the cracker, the wafer, the cup, that, you know, the ceremony of it was an even bigger deal than the partaking. And I do remember from my earliest days that the partaking was to only be done if you were sure that you were saved and that you had no unconfessed sin. So you were, and we'll get into this more in the 11th chapter because Paul starts to talk about some specifics, but those were the two ordinances. And I, as I got into ministry, I did, you know, I went into pastoral ministry. So of course I participated in those ordinances from a non-denominational standpoint. And then as I went into itinerant ministry, there was less opportunity to do water baptism or communion because those were sort of pastoral things. I've had those opportunities come back as we've met different people from around the world, baptized people who wanted to be baptized into their identity as sons or were newly saved and observe baptism. And I've led a lot of communion because people have gravitated towards the message of the finished work, the blood of Jesus as the seal of a new covenant, the body of Jesus broken on our behalf, and that we can participate in that and receive the benefits of communion. And so for me, the last decade, communion took on a new life because, you know, Paul says, as often as you do it, remember me. So I didn't see a limit, like you can only do it once a year or once a week or once a month. You had to do it in church. And so I began to participate in communion on my own whenever. And I also felt comfortable because I didn't take communion as a servant who was worried about how you carried the plate of wafers. I was participating in a meal with my Father as a son. And by eating with him, I was receiving his heart. Because when you eat with someone, you receive the best part of them. That's why we go conduct business over food. And so I started to take communion as a way of identifying greater with what the Father had done with me, for me in the body and the blood. And so my wife and my daughter and I take communion every day. And we didn't for a long time, but we've had our own revelation of how important that this is. And in several ways, because we're all always dealing with something spiritually. There's something we're talking to the Father about, something we're dealing with in our lives, our homes, our bodies, our minds, our soul, our money, whatever, school for my daughter. And we participate, the trio of us. It has become a fun thing because my daughter chooses the elements every night. She loves grape juice, so the blood is almost always represented by grape juice, but every night there's almost always something different as the elements. Everything from goldfish crackers to gummy daily vitamins to peanuts, pieces of bread, you know, whatever. And it's not a joke for her, but she gets to actively participate in bringing us to the communion table. And we're praying for some specific things. It's not all of which that I'm going to share with you because they're not all for public consumption, but we share them out loud as a family. And we are placing our confidence not in these elements, not in this cup, but in the fact that the body was broken for us and the blood was shed for us as a blessing. We get what the blood paid for. And the body has paid for everything we think we should have to have in our body. And we're doing it according to our faith. I can't encourage you enough to start this practice. Do it according to your faith. Because something has happened at the cross for you. And something has happened at the resurrection for you. And you should be receiving whatever it was, whatever it is, and allow those revelations to take over. I've watched the Father take situations. You know, I told you guys on this podcast several days ago about our own situation. And by the way, that meeting is happening today in real time of what we're supposed to do with these back issues we had with filings, with the IRS. And we did everything on the level to our knowledge, but we're finding out that maybe we just didn't understand some things that need shored up. Find all that out today, by the way. But we take that every day as part of our communion and say, give us wisdom for the things we don't understand, to know how to deal with them, patience, and receiving your compassion for the areas where we failed and messed up and that need fixed. To understand the blood put us in a new covenant and the body has been broken on our behalf. So we're not going to be chastised and condemned. And we receive the lack of that chastisement and condemnation. I can't encourage you enough to start this practice in your life. And just walk into it with baby steps. Don't worry about what you don't know. Okay? Don't worry about how you pray and saying the right words. If you believe that Jesus' blood was for you and his body was for you, then you need to sit down today and ask yourself what you believe about that. What do I believe about that? What do I believe about the blood and the body? And that's where you start. And then participate in your own little communion ceremony today at lunch or at dinner or whenever. This is his body. This is his blood. And see what the Holy Spirit says to you. And I believe you're going to hear revelation. Maybe not in that moment, but it's going to begin in you in a way that for some of you will floor you. And it might be the first time you've heard God speak in such a manner. We'll continue in 2 days with the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Tomorrow is Friday. It's long form Friday. It's going to be a particularly tasty long form Friday because it's a Q&A from Decatur, Alabama, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.